I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Second play of the second half from the 21-yard line. Walter needs two to break the record. High formation. Wing to the right is McKinnon. Galt wide to the left. They send McKinnon in motion through to the left side. Quick pitch to Walter. Looking for the record. Cuts back. He's got it. He's out over the 25 to the 26-yard line. Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown on his second carry here in the second half. And that's the equivalent to Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record.
Middays on the Score.
Oh, it does my heart good to hear Joe McConnell, one of the voices of my youth. We all remember where we were that day. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Jarrett Payton is on Twitter, at PaytonSun, S-U-N, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hi, Jarrett, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. First time on the show with you guys, man. That clip took me back to, there's a YouTube video people search out there of me right before that play. The camera comes in on my mom, my grandma, and my dad's sister, and I see the camera, and I start sticking my tongue out and waving my tongue at the camera. My mom slapped my hands down. You don't see that part, but I still remember that day like it was yesterday.
Were you in any doubt about where your dad would end up on the 100 greatest Bears list of all time when the list started coming out on Monday?
No, but I'm a little biased, though, just because, you know, he's my dad and my favorite athlete. And, you know, you guys, it's an honor. I said he would be honored to be on that list with all the great names that were on that list. And I know what it would mean to him because of how hard he worked. And he gave everything to the game of football. He gave everything to the Chicago Bears. And it all comes down to that moment. And this year is special, being the 100th year, and to be able to have that honor. I know he's smiling down. It's the reason why, for once, we actually have some sun here in Chicago.
As a 50-year-old man who started enjoying, my memories of the Chicago Bears go to the mid-70s, and that's when I first became a fan and first started going to games. I find it very telling that for your dad being at number one, how few of those 70s teammates are in consideration. You've got to get into the 80s, into the latter portion of his career. Of course, the Super Bowl champions and all that, but really when he was a phenomenon was when he was doing everything pretty much by himself in a way that I don't know if people really appreciate what was going on in 77 and 78 and 79 when that's what we had. We had 3 hours of Walter Payton.
Yeah, if you get a chance, there's also, for me, I being a kid growing up playing soccer all my life, football was never really one of my passions until I got older. So now that I'm 38, I go back and I'm doing my history on my father. I want to learn as much as I can about him and his MVP season in the 70s. You see, if you go back and you look at his numbers, he was a one-man band. It was him left, him right, and that team was not good at all, and teams knew that he was going to be getting the football, and to know that his drive and it just everything inside of him to be able to get those yards and to carry that team was pretty amazing. And you guys, it's the reason why I think my respect level for him is through the roof now. Like, I always loved him. He's my dad. But to know how hard he worked and what he sacrificed, because as a kid growing up in Arlington Heights, I was mad at him because he wasn't around enough in the summer times. And I'm like, why isn't dad around? Now being older, understanding that he had to sacrifice certain things that he loved. That was maybe spending time with the family because he was working. But he put himself through, I would say, there's a video saying that he talked about him working himself out to the brink of death. So on that hill in Arlington Heights. So when he got into the season, there was nothing that he hadn't seen before. Like, if they were going to give him the ball 40 times, he was ready for it. Because what he did leading up to the season was was unbelievable. So now I look back and I go, man, like he was special. He's the greatest football player that I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody that could do as much as he could do and what he was asked to do. And he might not have been great at everything, but he was good at everything. So to me, it's just a special honor for our family today.
So I'm a little younger and caught Walter's career, obviously, through like VHS and Tales from My Dad and stuff. But also I know the hill you're talking about because we watched Pure Peyton all the time, so often that we had to take a week off so that my dad could check the tape and see if we'd worn the damn thing out. Like, that's do you get to show that to your kids? Do you have a copy? And if you do, like, when can we get that on DVD, JP? Like, when does this come out for everybody now?
Well, my son is, he's a fanatic, and he's 7 years old, and it's amazing. Today we were sitting down having breakfast today for school, and I said, you know, the Bears are coming out. They came out with a top 100 list, and I'm like, you know who's number one, right? And the first thing out of his mouth, which I tweeted a couple days before, he goes, easy, Walter. I'm like, yeah, it's Grandpa, man. He's like, I already know it is. He's like, who else could it be? And for him to want to research his grandpa and know about him, that makes me feel special. And I take him to the hill. We go to the hill. It's not there anymore, but it still has a 34 on the side. I was there with Jordan Howard a couple of years ago to do a thing for Gatorade, just to be there and know what it meant. And Dan might know this place. Dan, you remember the Charlie Club back in the day?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, so listen, real quick. There's a guy who was there one night. And my dad was working out late, and he was a big bodybuilder. And he was like, I want you to do deadlifts and squats and everything and bench press. My dad's like, listen, I'll do all that if you come do a workout with me in the daytime. The guy's like, yeah, whatever. So my dad went to the workout with him. The next day, they go to the hill. This big, huge bodybuilder is trying to run up the hill. He did it twice, and they had to call an ambulance to actually drive up there to pick him up to put him in because his body went into shock. That's how crazy it was. So these stories that I hear from people every single day and stories like that, it just makes me go, what kind of man was he? Was he truly human? Because to put his body through what he put it through is truly amazing.
At the Charlie Club, it was this sort of ambitious, like, high-end health club hotel restaurant thing downtown. It was almost like an old-fashioned sports club. And I don't know. I remember how long it lasted. It was an ambitious idea that never quite worked.
Yeah, it was like Lifetime before Lifetime, basically, but with racquetball. You know, racquetball was in back in
right.
the day.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I hadn't heard of that in a long time, man. Yeah. This is so when you say he prepared for so much and the running, the famously running the hill, and the how rustic that is what hits home to me, because it's where teams now, everything is super high tech. It's sort of like, you know, like, you remember the montage in Rocky IV when they're comparing, you know, Drago's got all the machines and everything and all the digital readouts, and they juxtapose it with Rocky lifting up the, you know, the wagon, and he's swinging from the rafters. Yeah, but there's something to that where if a modern player were to do something like that, it's also almost like Greek myth, like Sisyphus. Like you're literally running uphill. You're literally facing this challenge. I think it's a really cool thing. I think it's cool that you went there with Jordan Howard too. I wonder what his reaction was.
It was really cool. We had a conversation and we talked a little bit before because it was raining out that day, and he was just talking about the feeling of being there, and I was trying to explain to him where the hill was, and just very receptive to, you know, knowing more about my dad and the legacy of the running back position with the Bears. And I think that's why I became so close with him, and just knowing how hard he was working. No, it didn't work out here, but just to be at that point, and what you were talking about goes to everything. Like, yeah, he was doing what athletes are doing nowadays of, like, really specialized and doing the things that you need to get ready for your sport. And a lot of guys weren't. You remember, Dan, there was guys would just come into training camp, and that's how they would prepare for, you know, to get ready for the season. My dad was doing that way, way before, while people were on trips, you know, enjoying their summers and going out with their families. He was working, and it paid off in the long run, because, you know, I've been talking to so many guys that my dad played with Matt Sui, and talking to the guys. He played hurt, I would say, almost 80% of the time he was hurt. when he played. And no one ever knew. No one saw him. He wasn't in the doctor. He wasn't in there getting, you know, fixed up. He never came home with ice bags on. And it's a way that he was mentally tough, and his mind over matter was unbelievable. He could, the pain that he was feeling, and somehow he could actually, with his mind, take that pain away and go out and play. He'd have a sprained ankle. The ankle would be swollen up for the whole week. He wouldn't practice for the whole week, and he would come in on Sunday, and he'd rush for 100 yards. It's amazing, and as I keep on finding out more about him, I get floored by how hard he was and how tough he was as a person.
JP, I want to ask you about another guy on this list. He's number 41, so a full 40 spots lower than your dad. Neil Anderson, who played with Walter for 2 years. I've always been told that had he not come right, you know, don't be the guy after the guy, be the guy after the guy after the guy.
Yeah.
He could be higher on this list, higher than 41 if he'd not played right after your dad. Do you have any idea of what his and Neil's relationship was like? Did you know Neil all that well when you were growing up?
Yeah, I kind of, learning more about the relationship, I think it was tough for my dad. I mean, he was, you know, almost on his way out, and, you know, Neil was the hot new thing, and so that's always probably a difficult situation. I don't think there was any animosity there between the two guys, but in sports, you guys know what it's like. I mean, someone's always coming for your job, and I think it was hard for him because in his mind, he felt like he probably had a little bit more time left to play, but everybody was really pushing Neil because he was the new guy. He was younger. And, you know, for my dad, I think he struggled a little bit because the feelings and just the desire to want to keep playing. But then also, too, when he left, I think there could have been more opportunities maybe to keep playing after 87 to go somewhere else and play. But my dad's biggest thing was he wanted to start and finish with one uniform on. So I think Neil, yeah, I think it was tough, too, because when you're following a great, following a legend, it's always hard because everybody is comparing you to the person that came before you, and it's unrealistic to ever probably accomplish those goals that my dad did. But, yeah, if he maybe would have came at a different time and didn't have to follow 34, maybe he is higher up on that list.
Talking with Jarrett Payton of WGN and CLTV, the son of the number one Bear of all time, as was announced today by the team, Walter Payton. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. This might sound like a weird question. How big a Bears fan were you growing up?
I wasn't.
Wins and losses didn't mean anything to you?
No, wins and losses didn't mean anything to me at all. You guys both know I was a soccer player, so soccer was everything. Didn't want to touch football, didn't like football, didn't watch Bears games. I would go to Bears games, but it didn't. I was, you know, more worried about what Team USA was doing playing soccer. You know, I mean, that was my true love. It wasn't until I truly got into football, and then I would say around college is when things started to matter about the Bears to me. And it was, you know, now it's my life. I mean, it's the only thing I think about, the only thing that old guys at the gym, when they walk up to me, want to talk about. Every day I step out of my house, I talk about the Chicago Bears. You would think I was actually getting paid by the Bears by how much I probably talk about them every single day.
Okay, yeah, then answer this. Where the hell is Khalil Mack, number 60 on this list? He played one season. I know he's really good.
Well, he's a difference maker, man.
JP.
I get it, but you guys saw the impact. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that can step into an organization to have that kind of impact, to see what he did for this organization, to be able to push them forward. I mean, not just defensively. When you can have a guy do that to the offense as well, I'll never forget. We were at, the Luke Bryan concert, and as I was walking up at Wrigley, I was walking up and I see Cody Whitehair, I see Zach Miller and Trubisky, and they, if you saw the look on their faces, offensive guys' faces about, we got Mac. It was like Christmas was the next day. I mean, he truly changed the fortunes of this organization defensively, definitely. So, why not put him on the list? I feel like he deserves to be on the list somewhere.
Right. You're swaying.
It's fascinating to hear you describe this. The fact that for somebody like me, who just grew up steeped in Bears lore and living and dying with everything that happened with this team, then getting to cover the team on a daily basis for 4 years and traveling with the team and continuing to be in a position following whatever they do and having really strong feelings about this, where you say that you've gone back retroactively in studying about your dad and in learning about the team. How cool it is that a lot of this stuff can be completely new to you, that you can watch video of something from the early 80s or from the late 70s and have never seen it before. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's become a part of my life. It's something that my son I've never, for a 7-year-old, I didn't have that burning desire to be the best at playing sports. I was always just good at playing sports. I just like being around my friends. So I didn't have this desire. I didn't want to be better than my dad. I didn't want to be a superstar. I just love playing sports and I wanted to do it for a job. My dad had this desire to be the best. My son has that same desire at everything that he does in sports. And to see that it skipped a generation, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm totally cool with it. But to see him and how much he loves his team. And he got a chance right before Christmas to meet Khalil Mack and Mitchell Trubisky, and to see his face after that wild card game, he called me on FaceTime with my wife and the tears in his eyes and how much it hurt. And I was telling him that you have to learn from these situations because, you see this team winning and it's all good, but you got to have this part too, the losing and how it tastes. And to be around this team, to be with Matt Nagy at the Super Bowl and NFL Honors and to talk to him and see his face to tell me that this team is hungrier than they were last year because they got that taste. I knew that this organization is in the right situation, and I know that to see that he is the right guy to lead them to where we all want to see them go, and that is to another Super Bowl and to hopefully win another Super Bowl championship. If I can see that before I die, and I'm a Cubs fan as well, if I could see that before I die, just another Super Bowl championship with the Bears, that's all I want. It's like the only thing on my list that I want. I got everything else. I've seen everything else. I've had everything else. That's the only thing that I want.
Jarrett, this was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you for doing this.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. Connor, man, I miss you, boy. I miss you, man.
JP, best of the family, man. Great catching up.
Good catching up. I'll talk to you guys later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.